You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us out at Grace Chapel at Grace Ranch for our last day.
It will be our last day.
Our last day morning. We'll have one more this evening of our conference. So, Steve, would you lead us in prayer?
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we know that He is here. Amen. And He is moving among us. Amen.
Amen.
So, Lord, let us open up our hearts and minds to receive that which You have for us this day, and trust You to move through us to minister one to another in Your love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Go ahead and stand up. So we did a call and response song last night. We're going to do it again. But so you all know what we're saying, I'm going to read it to you now. And we turned our mics up. So anyway, the song is, "We Declare That the Kingdom of God is Here."
Amen.
Amen. And then we're going to say, "Among you," and you're going to say,
"Among us."
Among us. Now the chorus is, "The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame men are walking." Amen?
Amen.
"Sickness flees at His voice."
Amen. Amen.
"The dead live again, and the poor hear the good news. Jesus is King, so rejoice."
Amen.
Amen. Are you all ready?
Among you,
among us,
among
God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
Oh, making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have to say, coming up here is not the favorite thing for me. But praise God, I can trust in His ability, not my own. And He is well able. Amen.
Amen.
Starting this week, Davey talked about games. No more games. The games are over. It made me wonder, why do we play games? What causes us to do that? And personally, I can say for myself, and probably others, I love the savior part of Jesus, but He's also our master. And until we die to ourselves entirely, He's not our master. We're still our master. And that's really what we need to do. When we die entirely to ourselves, we can love God. We can love one another. I do want to go to Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. Folks, that's eternal life. Eternal life right there. Do we want eternal life?
Yeah.
Well, let's do what it takes to get it. Let's bury this old cat, as we heard, I think, last year. Put off all this garbage that holds us back. It's time for us to get serious. There are people out there that need to know the Word of God. And praise God for grace, like He gave you 3 or 4 times to tell the guy at Home Depot. You know, and the grace is going to be there, but we need to step out in faith, trusting solely in God's ability, not our own. When we go back out, we all don't live here. We need to look at every single person we see as an opportunity to share God's love. And I know that Davey has spoken of a story before. I believe it was a paper boy when he was in Florida. He was some type of delivery boy. I believe he was a paper boy that came. And Davey asked him if he knew the Lord. And the kid said, "I have plenty of time," or something to that. And I believe he was hit and killed that day. And Davey told him, "You don't know how much time you have." And we don't know how much time that person in front of us when we're out there has. And I don't need more tears than I've already created being wiped from my eyes. Amen. Amen.
Told me.
This is the sixth ministers conference, correct?
Yes.
Exactly. Think about that just for a minute. Sixth ministers conference. Back in 2010, we had our very first one, wasn't it? And in 2010, we were over in the little building. Well, it's the big building, really. Little in the big picture, but big for here, I guess. And the walls weren't even up, remember? And we were rearranging tables for the services, and we were, you know, crammed up where the musicians were up in the kitchen area. Remember that? And then the next year, we got flooring and walls. You know, we had tents and... And remember where it was, really, who was preaching then? A couple people? Dad and Steve, maybe? A couple people maybe offering a little bit. Let's look at where we are now. I mean, I bet you could hand this mic to almost anyone in this room and they'd have something good to say about Jesus. Now, if God was able to do that with us while we were yet playing games, imagine what he can do when our head is in the game. Just think of it. Just think of it. I'm trying to go back and remember a time when I've been involved in the ministry when the ministry wasn't beholden to something. I mean, we rented a building or rented a house. Look what the Lord has provided. Amen. This is awesome. Amen. This is amazing. Amen. My squeaky voice. Not so amazing. But God is amazing. Amen. In the midst of our inadequacies, in the midst of our stupidity, he yet accomplished something. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. I was sort of awestruck. I was talking to James last night. Just 6 years. Now, I don't want to look at the teeny little bit of progress that we've made in 6 years and think that's enough or that we've somehow arrived. Because, gosh, I mean, God can do so much more. Right? We put ourselves aside and we trust in him. He could do so much more. Scripture I want to look at this morning. We'll go to Hebrews 12. This passage, gosh, we've talked about it over and over and over and over. And it seems no matter how many times I read it, it's still relevant to me. The idea of playing games and the admonition that we were given that God has done with it. Who had a quiver when that was said? It shook me. Shook me right to the core. You know, God will, he extends that grace, he extends that grace, he extends that grace. But he does, believe it or not, he will yank your chain. He will yank it. And if you ignore him long enough, you're not going to like what happens. You can go read Proverbs 1 and see what happens. If you slap away the hand of wisdom long enough, what's going to happen? He will laugh at your calamity. When you call upon him, he's not going to answer back. That scares me. And when I hear a message about he is done with the games, that scares me to a good place of repentance. I hope the same for you. We've got today, we've got fellowship, we've got some time left yet. I want to ask you a couple questions.
love. We know what love is. We have it in Corinthians chapter 13, amen? We know all the attributes of love. We know what it is. We know we're to love God and love one another. Thank you, JC. What do you do? What do you do when you're challenged to love? How long does it take you to flip the switch to realize that the train you're on is hate and not love? How long does it take you to flip that track? Something happens. Somebody does something. Maybe they did it on purpose. Maybe they did it inadvertently. But your mind goes down a track that has imputed intentions and motives and all kinds of things on that person. You know, one of the attributes of love is that it thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. If you train yourself to thinketh no evil, then when something happens, you're going to give your brothers and sisters the benefit of the doubt, aren't you? You're not going to impute ill will and ill intention onto them, are you? What happens if you don't immediately cut that off at the quick when it hits you? It grows. And then it leads to resentment. And you know what happens? You're back to playing a game. Because if you don't have love, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Man, you talk about who's put a jigsaw puzzle together? You ever get to the end? You ever buy one at a thrift store and you get to the end and it's missing one stinking piece? Is that not frustrating? You got that 1,000-piece puzzle. No, forget the 1,000. 25-piece. We'll go real simple. Okay, the kiddie version, right? It's about what I guess, about the patience I have for a jigsaw, but the 25-piece. 50 if I'm really ambitious. All right, so I'm putting it together, and I get to the end because Sue's been to the thrift store, Goodwill, 14 times in a week. But she comes back, well, I got more puzzles. Great, that's awesome. What are we going to do with these puzzles? Anyway, you get it, and you know, you'd figure these people should count the pieces. There's only 50, but you get to the end and it's missing that last daggum piece. Well, I'll tell you what, we heard a sermon that for me was that last piece for so much of what I had been struggling with. Brother Davey preached a sermon on Romans 12. Y'all remember that one? Remember it? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And what that was to die for one another. For one another. See, that's the love. That's the love. It's what Jesus did for us, right? It's exactly what he did for me. And what's he ask of us? Go do likewise. Amen? I ask you how quickly you are to do that. Let me go back over here. Hebrews 12. Wherefore seeing we... Come on, quit flipping around, you damn thing. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we are to what? Lay it aside. When that thought hits you, because look, man, if you're living here at the ranch, and I've only been here a week, and I'm watching the friction, right? I mean, imagine if you lived here 24/7. There's friction. Am I wrong? And some of that friction is not good friction. It's not good friction. It's still the pride. It's still the selfishness. It's still the self-centeredness. That can't be. as we go home, don't we have our families? Men, don't you have your families? There shouldn't be friction there in the sense of selfishness, pride, and self-centeredness. Should there? Should be love one for another. How's the world going to see a difference if you're just like everyone else? They're not. And it's easy. It's as easy, like we talk, change your mind. Lay it aside. What value is there in holding on to that resentment, that anger, that imagination of ill will? What good is there? What profit is there in that? None. There is absolutely zero profit in it. And that is a path back to playing a game. You can't do it. You absolutely cannot continue down that path and expect God to honor it. You can't do it. You gotta lay it aside. It's not worth dying for. It's not worth going to hell for. And what's worse, let's say you do make it to heaven. It's not worth getting cast out of heaven for either. That stuff has zero value. And it has to go. It cannot be part of a believer's life. Can't be. Let us lay it aside, every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you get into that place, that imagination comes, that thought comes, that whatever it is, and you know it's an attack of the devil, don't you? Don't you know? Do you think if my brother Bob and I have a run-in, let's say something happens, am I going to think that Bob has intentionally sought to do me harm? Do I think that Bob would do that? No, I don't think Bob would ever intentionally seek to harm me. Do you understand that? Do you think my sister Cheryl intentionally seeks to harm me? Or my dad intentionally seeks to just destroy my life? No. But haven't you had thoughts about that amongst one another? Yes. Haven't you had thoughts? I bet you, I know South Carolina, man. I know you guys. And I bet you stuff happens. And I bet you've had thoughts about one another, haven't you? And you've run a yarn about so-and-so and such-and-such. And has it ever been profitable? Isn't it a lie? Don't you know it's a lie? Don't give it any space. Do not give it any space. It will destroy you. It will kill you. Let it go. Get rid of it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let the love of Jesus replace that hurt, that resentment, and that anger and that frustration. You don't want it. Amen. You don't need it. You talk about freedom. If you're all bound up inside with all this garbage, how are you going to minister love when you're bound up in hate? We've had some amazingly good messages here, but it's stuff we've all heard. It's just cemented the clarity of the gospel. Now we have to walk in that. Steve mentioned something about freedom. You know, if you've been a prisoner for all your life and all of a sudden you're given freedom, you got to learn how to walk in freedom. You guys seen the movie Shawshank Redemption, right? The old black gentleman that gets released, he had a life sentence, he gets released, he's working at the grocery store, and he's asking permission every time he wants to use the restroom. And they're like, dude, go to the bathroom, don't ask me. But he's like, boss, because what did you do in jail? You better by God ask. Well, we have to learn to walk in that freedom. And trust God as we learn that process to walk in it. if he's released us and he's taken away all of that, the bondage of all that that had on us, just let it fall off, Jesus. Just let it go. Let it fall away and be free. Be free. Because then that love that he has will fill you. And when things happen, your brother, your sister's having a bad day, you will have mercy on them. You will have grace on them. You will extend love to them. Just as you want Jesus to do to you or do for you. Just as you need him to do for you. Just as you desperately, oh my God, do I need the grace and mercy of God. So desperately, I need it. And if I need it, you need it. And if I want it, I better, by God, give it. Because if I don't, what's he say? In the same way you forgive others, he'll forgive you. Remember, Lisa? Remember that conversation? Lisa in the chair. If she could have gotten up out of that chair, she would have thrown me out the house. If all this has been done when we've had optical rectal nervitis, imagine what God can do when we get our heads out of that dark place. I mean, just imagine. I am so excited. I am so excited to see the good things God is going to do through you. I'm sort of like the horse. Let me out the gate. That's how I feel. I haven't felt that way in a very long time. Because I've been bound up with a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And all that stuff that you might still be yet bound up with, get rid of it. Oh my goodness, don't go home with it. You imagine if you had to, you know, if you're flying, you got to pay for your baggage, right? So every bad attitude costs you $100, all right? So if you're going home, you know, make sure you pay at the gate, because if you're going to take that baggage with you, at least let's profit off of it, you know what I'm saying? Oops. No, I'm not saying that. But don't leave here with it. Put it aside, lay it aside, get rid of it. And let God's work begin in you. Amen. In it, in earnest. Amen?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The key that I want you to remember is we operate by the faith of Christ. Not our own faith. Amen. When you leave this conference this week, next week, whenever you leave it, I want you to make that flip. That flip from trusting in your own faith. Trusting in the faith of Jesus.
Amen.
It's in the faith of Jesus that all things are possible. It's in that faith of Jesus where you rest in his rest. And when you enter into that rest which is of God, that you read about in Hebrews 4, when you enter into that rest, you cease from your own works. Now, when you try to have faith in a thing, isn't that a lot of work?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that a lot of work when you're trying to have faith in a thing? But when your faith is the faith of Jesus, it's no work. When your son died, you didn't have time to think He didn't have time to try to believe. Amen. You just believed his word. You believed what you heard from me. And you acted on it. And because of that, you were operating in God's faith, in the faith of Jesus Christ. When you were faced with your house all messed up, you were operating in your own faith when nobody would help you and the church had let you down and all this other stuff. But when you were straightened out to put your faith in God, you flipped. And when you flipped into that faith of Christ, everything came together. It's that simple. It's just that simple. You stop trying to do it and just do it through him. Stop trying. Just do it through him. Use his faith. Amen. All right, y'all can sing now.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's a great song, and it's on point for what we're talking about and something I want to share. Davey, at the beginning of the convention, you may remember, he talked about how the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Remember that? The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And it was interesting as I was following what Rick and James were talking about here. You know, James was talking about, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. He's reading Jesus' words here, mind you. And I wanted to focus on that word, will. See, because God is a gentleman, will is such an important thing. Such an important thing. What is your will? Now, what Rick was talking about in part is he was describing the cross. Right? Brother Richard used to, in Vermont anyway, he used to take two pencils. Remember that, Ann? He'd take two pencils and he would form them into a cross.
You know? No, I would take a knife and a toothpick.
Oh, a knife and a toothpick. That's right. I've seen the knife and the toothpick. There you go. So you'd have the knife going up and down and the toothpick going across. The knife going up and down represented God's will. The toothpick going across represented our will. And when the toothpick was going across, it was very easy to break it. But when that toothpick turned and went up and down, in other words, when you joined your will to the will of God, when you gave up your will and you submitted it unto the Lord, you chose to agree with God, now that will was unbreakable. Now the works of God that Peter did, that Paul did, that Jesus did, that all the people we read about, now all of those works were possible. Why? Because we had chosen to join our will to God's will. Amen. Now, it was interesting, you know, we singing that song, and the things of the earth shall grow strangely dim, right? It is kind of strange for them to grow dim, isn't it? Because our entire life is about gathering as much of the things of the world as we possibly can. And we don't really care what happens to other people as we go about doing that. See, that's where Linda, when you were talking about it and you had your attitude, you know, your world had fallen. It was in the process of falling. And so what happens is we start looking for somebody to freaking blame. Right? Somebody to blame. And of course, when you're in that place, it's a dark place and there's no hope. No hope. There are people out here right now who are listening online or who are present whose worlds are falling. And it's dismaying. It's dismaying, and they're really struggling. And what they're looking for is a person to blame. And see, the thing is, when we get into that place of a person to blame, you know, what's amazing is the reverse of it is we're always justifying ourselves. The reverse is we're always justifying ourselves. And when we're justifying ourselves, God can't move. Because there's no person who's justified in his sight. No person. And so when you look over where Rick was in Hebrews, if you read down just a verse past where he was, and you look at verse 3, and it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin." That's the truth. That's the truth. See, and that's where, you know, all the imputing of motives. Well, he's done this, you know, and all these things. We impute the most horrific motives unto others in order to justify ourselves. And most of it's just a bunch of bumbling idiots going around and screwing things up. It has nothing to do with people deliberately doing things. It's just bumbling idiocy. That's all it is. That's all it is. And once we turn our eyes from that and recognize that we are a bumbling idiot, just like the person we're imputing horrific motives to, now all of a sudden we can have grace on them and we recognize our need for grace ourselves. And then the love of God on both parts, on both bumbling idiots' parts, can be shared. And you know what happens when that happens? The most amazing thing happens. The bond between the two people is better and stronger than it ever was before. It's an amazing, that's how we get knit together in His love. That's how we get knit together in His love. In His love, mind you, not ours. You know that scripture in 2 Timothy where we read, where it talks about, for God does not give us a spirit of fear, but love. In other words, God gives us love. It's a gift of His to us. Power. God gives us power. It's a gift of His to us. A sound mind. God gives us a sound mind. It's a gift of God to us. If He's giving us a gift, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm getting a gift, I want to get something I need, like that I don't already have. Right? And the fact of the matter is, God's a giver of good gifts. So in other words, I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care how great you think. You need the love of God. You don't have it. You need the power of God. You don't have it. You need a sound mind. You don't have it. I'd say that's the flip side of that thing. And see, what we go about in pride is we think we already got all those things. It's everybody else who needs them. Isn't that how it works? When we're judging and condemning and finding all the other stuff, we think we've got these things. It's those stupid idiots we have to hang out with that are missing them. And really, you know what Brother Richard's talking about and everything is, it is that easy. We stand in Christ's faith, but in order to do so, we have to humble ourselves. It's really what we have to do, is we just have to humble ourselves. We have to recognize that our notions are almost always wrong. And the only time they're not is when they agree with Him. Kind of like Davey said, even a clock that doesn't work is right twice a day. Right? That's kind of like us. We're the broken clock. And the fact of the matter is that humility is what then yields to what He says. What He says in this word, and then what He says through His people in accordance with this word. And what I mean by what He says through His people in accordance with this word is what He says through His ministers, what He says through His husbands, what He says through His parents, what He says through His masters. And I even say that because, see, a lot of times when we're working and we think our boss is a jerk, our boss very well may be a jerk, but he may be precisely the kind of jerk we need. See, and that's the part we don't want to see. You mean that? And I won't use the word that we usually have in our heart and mind when we're speaking about such a person. That is actually exactly what I need. Yep. And what happens is when you learn what you need from that one, the Lord can bring you to another one, a better one. Or maybe because you learn it, He becomes better. In which case, praise God, you get to rejoice together. Amen? So just realize, I mean, God is a gentleman. And He's not going to make you do these things. But let us humble ourselves to do them. To agree with Him. That we can be that toothpick that God is mighty and we are weak, right? But when we're in Him, we are as mighty as He is. Amen.
I will stay to the true
and leap over the wall. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So tonight will be the last night. And as Rick said, look, let's not leave this place without getting rid of that stuff. Let's let it roll off. Amen.
Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.